I think so much of it is it was already determined by our body of work. So we were playing maybe for one seed line max. And now, in some years, not even playing for a seed line. It was already done. But now I feel like that we're playing for at least two and maybe three seed lines. You know, what potentially could be good and what could potentially be poor. So there's a lot to play for, obviously.
Bill Self, head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, in a weird spot. They're the three seed in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, and they will battle Texas tonight. Pregame at 8 o'clock and tip time at 8:30 this evening. KU, the three seed versus Texas, the six seed, is the Big 12 tournament underway yesterday. And, it was kind of interesting. Two great games. TCU blowing a lead and then hanging on the win over Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma thinking they tied the game but didn't. Thanks to replay. I'm sure Oklahoma's a big fan of replay today. West Virginia wins by one over Oklahoma. So here's your matchups today in the Big 12 tournament. Baylor, Iowa State at 11:30 on ESPN2. K-State against TCU, third meeting of the year. K-State won the first two meetings. That's at 1:30 on ESPN2. Texas Tech, West Virginia at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. And as we said, KU, Texas, 8 o'clock is the pregame. Tip time, 8:30 tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. Well, the big story, of course, with Kansas State, we'll get to in a moment, and that is the situation with Dean Wade and his injury status, and Cartier Jada expected to play today, this afternoon, against TCU. But before we get to that, they say things go in threes. It's been such a long week, I forgot the first one. Dusty, of course, broke the story of Keith Grissine being relieved of his coaching duties on Monday, and then yesterday he broke the story that Brock McMillan is no longer going to be the head football coach at Rock Hills. And so I texted Dusty last night, and I said, well, you know, these things go in threes, you know. And Dusty goes, well, yeah, I know. Brandon Wise is leaving Osborne. We did that. I'm like, oh, my Lord, that seems like 6 months ago. Because it's been a long week. It really does.
You know, we found out about that before I went to state basketball, too. So it's like, that does seem like it's been at least a month.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. But it hasn't.
No.
So we have three football coaches that are no longer going to be the coaches next year. So
yeah.
St. John's Tipton, Osborne, and Rock Hills, three really good football programs, are all going to be looking for brand new head coaches next year. That's crazy stuff.
It is. I don't think I've ever had that happen before where there's this many already that are doing that. But, and like you said, three great programs, and Brock was the latest one. We were tipped by the Board of Education, approving him as a social studies teacher. And it's like, is there more than one Brock McMillan or no?
Don't think so. There is. Well, there probably is somewhere, but not around here.
And so Brock wanted to make sure that was approved, and then he submitted his resignation from Rock Hills after that. So, he's clearly going to miss Rock Hills, and we're going to miss talking with him as the Grizzlies head coach. But we obviously wish him the best. And like I say, he's had a lot of success there at Rock Hills. Three times he made the playoffs in his 6 years that he was there, and he went over that time, had an outstanding record of 39-18. They went 8-2 this past season, ended up losing in the regional round of the playoffs to a very good Axtell team. But I'm certain they're going to miss him at Rock Hills, and Coach McMillan has all of our best wishes as well as he goes to Beloit to teach social studies there and probably some physical education, and he's hoping that maybe down the road he'll have some coaching positions there at Beloit as well.
Trust me, he'll have an opportunity to coach. As we know, there's a bit of a shortage of coaches because of various reasons. Brock McMillan, Dusty had a chance to catch up with him, and here's his conversation with Brock on going to Beloit and leaving Rock Hills.
Welcome back here on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 Sports. We're joined by Brock McMillan, who has now resigned his positions at Rock Hills High School and will now be teaching at Beloit High School. Brock, first of all, if you can kind of discuss the process of how this all came about to where you're headed to Beloit and then resigning from your spots there at Rock Hills.
Oh, just, I spent the last 6 years at Rock Hills and definitely enjoyed my time there, and it's been a great experience. Formed a lot of great relationships with coworkers and kids that I've taught and coached, and it's more of a family thing than anything. My wife teaches in the Beloit community, and kids are involved in the daycare down there and things like that. So more of anything, it was kind of a a family thing that was going to kind of make things easier day to day. But definitely have a lot of respect for the Beloit district, and I've kind of neighbored that district my entire life. Going to high school in Jewell, and been part of the Beloit community in various ways throughout my lifetime, and so definitely just a cool opportunity that came up and came available at the right time, and was able to make it work, and definitely excited for what the future holds.
Teaching social studies and maybe a little bit of physical education, right? Kind of like what you're doing at Rock Hills.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of the same. Situation there, and so going in, after teaching for 6 years here, it definitely feel pretty comfortable making the transition now, be teaching some government and maybe doing some weightlifting classes, things like that too. So definitely an exciting opportunity, and really looking forward to it.
Take me back over your time at Rock Hills here, especially on the football field as a coach, because I'm doing this on a sports angle. So just overall, how do you feel about the time there? You obviously had a lot of great kids that came through the program, and I'm sure you want to say a little something about them and say a little something about the community as well. What has it been like over the last 6 years at Rock Hills as a coach?
It's been just a great experience. Coming back from college and looking for jobs, it's kind of a nerve-wracking experience for kids that are in that situation. And so I landed pretty well, with that opportunity coming up where, Sam Myers bumped from the teaching position and the head coach position to principal. And so it was a really good position to kind of fall into, and I learned a lot from him and definitely, over the years took a lot of what he taught me and kind of applied it to the field and things like that. But it was starting out at a young age, it kind of had to, go through a little growing pains, and we had some injuries and things like that the first couple of years. But after those first couple of seasons, things started to really slow down, and we had just a good number of kids buying in every year. And I just feel like it's been kind of on an upward tick since then. Just a lot of memorable experiences, some really good classes that have came through, and they've definitely came and worked each and every day, and really made this coaching position a fun one, definitely for sure. It created a lot of good memories, and sad to see that part of it go, definitely for sure. Sad won't be able to be part of that community anymore, but definitely have appreciated and enjoyed all the time spent in that community and in that coaching gig and teaching gig, and definitely going to miss it for sure, but look forward to what's ahead.
Brock McMillan, again, now headed to Beloit High School to teach and possibly maybe in the future get some coaching gigs there as well. Coach, we wish you the best of luck there at Beloit. Thanks for all the time and locker room chats and everything like that over the past six season, and best of luck at Beloit for you.
Thanks, Dusty.
That's Brock McMillan, moving from Rock Hills to Beloit and be a new football coach at Rock Hills, St. John's, Tipton, and Osborne next year, but we don't know who any of those are yet. It's been pretty recent,
yes,
obviously. So there might be some ideas for people. So it's been a busy couple of weeks, all this stuff happening right around state basketball and sub-state basketball, and Dusty's done a wonderful job of covering it, and he doesn't get to it 3 days later. He's actually on top of it for the very beginning. Yeah. and had it all covered and it's called relationships with coaches that you build, and that then you have access to those coaches and can call them real quickly and say, hey man, there's a rumor that you're leaving. There's a rumor you might be gone, or there's a rumor that you want another job, or can you confirm or deny these? And they'll talk to you. Whereas if you don't have a relationship, they'll be like, they'll blow you off.
Yeah,
they don't need to talk to you. So it's about building relationships. And Dusty Dodo, fantastic job in regards to the Brandon Wise and Keith Grisine, and now Brock McMillan. So if you want to coach football, ladies and gentlemen, there are opportunities for you right here in our backyard. So yes, don't sit here and tell me, I want to coach football. No opportunities. Yeah, they are. Do you really want to coach or not? Because I'm guessing they'll take you on, even as an assistant, if you don't want the pressure of being the hot seat and being the head coach.
So, I'm about to be like LeBron here and sit out for load management reasons with all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen. Yeah. So you can go back and listen to that. We have it posted at kdcountry94.com and nckssports.com. It's all there for you with the interview with Brock McMillan. All right, the Big 12 basketball tournament. We'll go with that first, and we'll go to the Chiefs. The Big 12 basketball tournament, K-State in action, as we said today. And here's the questions, and they're all, you know, the questions everybody's got to ask. And Bruce Weber, head coach K-State, asked about Dean Wade's mental state right now, as it looks like he is out for the Big 12 tournament. Rumors are he might be done for the year.
It's hard. It's hard. It's Sunday morning. You know, I talked to him and his parents, and I mean, he's crushed. You know that and I said it at Saturday night. You know, every day, it's my last prayer is that those seniors get the finish on a positive note and be healthy. But you know, we'll just see what happens.
So Dean Wade, you know, it's a wait and see approach. So Bruce Weber, the follow up question, of course, is: do you think he'll play in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. You know, but I mean, I can't, you know, promise anything. Luke's been with them. We're on spring break, so he's with them, I don't want to say 24/7, but, you know, basically early morning back in the afternoon, and that's why we got him back in the hotel right now getting treatment.
So basically we don't know, and that's concerning for K-State fans, of course, because no Dean Wade. You would think they'd struggle in the tournament, but last year they made Elite Eight, and Dean Wade's played a total of 8 minutes. A lot of people think he didn't play at all in the tournament last year. He actually did. He gave it a go against Kentucky in the first half, and then he just couldn't go anymore. He tried. But in essence, he didn't play at all in the NCAA tournament. And, of course, they cut the big break with UMBC knocking off number one Virginia. So it's all about injuries for Coach Weber. Cartier Jada supposed to be back today. Here's Weber on Jada.
I'd say 90% sure he will be in the game. You know, it just comes down. He's got to make sure he feels good, and he feels good about his decision.
Mike McGurl or Austin Trice will get the start in place of Dean Wade, and then Jada would come off the bench. And not only those injuries, but then you've got Kamau Stokes and his migraines. Interesting exchange with reporters yesterday, as Kamau Stokes can't explain why he gets migraines. They don't happen during the game, thankfully.
It's the worst thing ever. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. Yeah, it's the worst thing ever. You know, my mind is just only on the left side of my head. You know, so it when it hits hard.
Do you have like a trigger?
I don't know what triggers it. Actually, I don't. I was fine. I'm fine in games, and in games it's probably louder than I ever am. And you know, I don't know what triggers it. I have no idea. We haven't figured that out yet. But I hope it don't hit me in a game.
I would hate
for it to hit me in a game.
Has it ever like in youth ball or anything?
No. No, I haven't had it since recently, and, you know, I hope it goes away soon.
Yeah, migraines are a horrible thing to deal with. If you ever dealt with a migraine, you know what he's going through. K-State, TCU, 1:30 today. KU, Texas, 8 o'clock tonight. Be 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30 tip-off. And then the semifinals will be tomorrow on Friday. Baylor, Iowa State winner gets K-State, TCU winner. Texas Tech, West Virginia winner versus KU, Texas winner. You could have Iowa State versus K-State and Texas Tech versus Kansas. Be a pretty good semifinal round tomorrow there in Kansas City. If KU wins tonight, we'll have them again tomorrow. And then Saturday as well on Z96.3 The Lake. KU's mantra used to be Big 12 champs. That's what they chant. Big 12 champs at the end of breaking down every huddle. Now they can't say that. So now they say the fun starts now. You know, I do think there's less pressure on Kansas. We're going to talk more about with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, but I think that could bode well for KU, and maybe they will surprise a few people and go deeper in the tournament than people think. Wichita State's a team that's been red hot. They're in the American Athletic Conference postseason tournament, and Wichita State will be in action coming up tonight as they will take on East Carolina. That's the first round tonight. That is at 9 o'clock on ESPNU. And if Wichita State wins, they'll face Temple, the 3 seed. Wichita State is the 6 seed. They would play Temple tomorrow at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. So you want to watch the Shockers, ESPNU is your place to go. The NFL continues to be very active when it comes to the teams are in regards to trades and releases and acquisitions. And yesterday the Chiefs did something that I'm surprised they did right now, but I'm glad they did. And it's nothing personal against Eric Berry. Terrific person. Done unbelievable things in the community. But it is a business. And when you saw Tyrann Mathieu getting signed, it's like you're not going to spend $27 million at the safety position. You're just, that's not smart. It's not smart that you get Berry the contract in the first place. Eric Berry has been released by the team after a 9-year run in Kansas City, although he only played in 5.5 of those 9 seasons. 5 Pro Bowls, 3 first team All Pro selections, 1 Comeback Player of the Year award. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Chiefs cut Berry before $7.25 million of his salary became fully guaranteed on Friday. Had I known that, I would have said they would have done this before Friday, too. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
Everybody kept talking about a post-June 1st designation, making it sound like they're going to wait until after June 1. But actually what happens is the Chiefs will save $15 million against the salary cap over the next 2 years by releasing him with a post-June 1 designation. He now becomes the best safety available on the market, but I say no, he isn't. If he hardly plays, how is he the best safety on the market? If he's completely healthy, yes, he's the best safety on the market right now. The Cowboys are looking into his health situation. As I saw a whole bunch of people respond on Twitter, day to day. Day to day. He's day to day. General manager Brett Veach called it an incredibly difficult decision. To me, it shouldn't have been. Chiefs coach Andy Reid described Berry as a special person and said that seeing his passion and watching his love for the game has been truly remarkable. Berry, the 5th overall pick out of Tennessee in 2010, has been one of the league's best safeties when he's been healthy. He's missed 55 of 144 possible games, and since he signed his big deal with the Chiefs in 2016, 6 years, $78 million, and I think it was $20 million guaranteed, he's played in 3 regular season games and 1 playoff game. So since 2016, that deal, he was paid $20 million, plus some, of course, but $20 million guaranteed to play 4 games. Ruptured his Achilles. Of course, early in his career, he tore his ACL. He battled heel and Achilles injuries this past year. And now with Tyrann Mathieu on board, and the Chiefs now have released, you think about it, their 3 most prominent players. They released Justin Houston, Eric Berry. They traded Dee Ford. I'm not surprised to let go Houston or Berry. Made sense to me. I was a little bit surprised they traded Dee Ford, but as we got closer to what you started hearing about Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator Chiefs, he might not fit their scheme. It made more and more sense. They traded him, if you didn't know, to the 49ers or a second-round draft pick next year. So the Chiefs have a lot more cap space to go do some things. I will say this. I do not listen to the sports talk station in Kansas City. And based off the things I see on Twitter from this sports station, 610 Radio in Kansas City, I'm talking 610, I'm glad I don't listen to their show. Because the stuff I see that they're putting out there is complete trash. I mean, they're just basically, this is not what Super Bowl teams, this is not what teams going for a Super Bowl do. I responded, actually it is. You ever heard of the Patriots, who just beat the Chiefs and won the Super Bowl? Do you see them throwing a whole bunch of money out at anybody? They let their left tackle go for the second straight season in free agency. They didn't franchise him. They've let their kicker go. They let go of their best pass rusher. They win Super Bowls. You don't have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars. How do you, why do you think, the 610, I'm glad I don't listen to him. I just, the one guy is just a complete, utter
I've felt that for
fool.
Years.
I don't know what they're
Everybody's
put
trying
station.
To tell me to listen to 610, no, some of my God, buddies back in the day, and I'm like, I'll pass.
If it's the stuff I see on Twitter that they're saying, oh my Lord, then please, I'm so glad I don't get them and don't listen to them. But, I mean, they're just like jumping ship. They're just criticizing Brett Veach left and right. And what, this is not what teams that try to go to the Super Bowl do. You don't get rid of all your best players. Did you not watch? Do you not? Aren't you a Kansas City sports station? Don't you actually watch and see what goes on with this organization? Eric Berry played 4 games the last 2 years, all right? Justin Houston is a declining player. He wasn't going to take a pay cut. They tried to trade him. They did everything they could to keep him. It just didn't work, and you're not going to pay him $21 million to be a declining player who's been injury prone.
Yes.
And Dee Ford can't stop the run. And so those same people whine about, well, the Chiefs' defense is horrible, can't stop the run. And then you're whining about getting rid of these marquee names. Let me ask them a quick question. How good was this defense with them last year? 31st.
Not good.
Out of 32. So their rationale is, well, we didn't get any better by losing all 3. There's not much further down you can go than 32nd. So here's a thought. Maybe try the Patriots angle. You picked up a key player in Tyrann Mathieu, which the Patriots wouldn't even probably do that. Okay, so you spent money there. But now let's go draft. Let's go draft guys that are going to play some of these. And if you feel good about Breland Speaks in this new scheme and pass now perhaps, although I haven't heard much about that, Dorian O'Daniel, you picked up a Damian Wilson from the Cowboys, a cheap deal, a younger linebacker who fits the Sam linebacker spot perfectly for Steve Spagnuolo, 26 years of age, entering the prime of his career. Anthony Hitchens should be better in this defense. Listen, look at the Patriots. The Chiefs had more talent on defense last year than the Patriots. Everybody knows that. And the Patriots shut out the Chiefs' offense in the first half because of what? Scheme, blitzes, styles, confusion. The Chiefs, of course, did the same thing over and over and over, and Tom Brady picked it apart in the fourth quarter and overtime when it counted the most. The difference is you got to have better coaches. You can have that talent, but listen, I think a lot of people thought, well, we're just going to change the defensive coordinator and we're going to bring everybody back. I didn't think that. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I wanted a new defensive coordinator is because I thought we would make personnel changes. Last year, the Chiefs made personnel changes but didn't get rid of the coach, and nothing changed. This year, the Chiefs are making personnel changes and changing their defensive coordinator and their entire defensive coaching staff for the most part, and I love it. I love it because it hasn't been working. So blow it up. Dee Ford can't stop the run. How many tackles did he have, Show and all you other people at 610 Sports? How many tackles did he make in the Patriots game in the AFC title game? The answer is a big fat zero, as many as you guys did. Dee Ford is not worth $87 million. On top of dead money that you have on your cap because of Eric Berry, even after you released him, you got dead money on the cap. You just signed Tyrann Mathieu to $14 million a year. That's still a big chunk. You want to re-sign Tyreek Hill, which I say you probably should wait. Chris Jones, I say you should wait. You can franchise one of those two next year. Maybe you got to sign one, franchise the other. And, oh, yeah, you got this guy named Mahomes. Have you heard of him? That you're going to have to pay a lot of money to probably after next year, even though he'd still be under contract, but you want to get a deal done sooner than rather than later, which actually may save the Chiefs money in the long run. Listen, when people are jumping off the wagon and criticizing screaming bloody murder with Brett Veach because he let go of an aging Justin Houston and he let go of an injury-prone Eric Berry and he let go of a pass rusher but can't stop the run, a liability in Dee Ford, and decided, I don't want to give $87 million to a guy who had one big year and who's been injury-prone before that anyway. What the heck is wrong with you at 610 Sports? What do you want this guy to do? Okay? And by the way, maybe you shouldn't jump ship and be so critical of Brett Veach right now until we actually have the draft. Here's a thought. Free agency just started on Monday,
free agency's
right?
Not over either.
I got to say, free agency just started. I know there's big names moving quickly, but there's still guys out there that could help the Chiefs. Listen, if the Chiefs can go get five good, decent players for the same price as Justin Houston and Eric Berry, the Chiefs will be better. And they'll save money and have more money to go put elsewhere. I mean, this is completely makes sense to me, what the Chiefs are doing. It'd be one thing if Justin Houston, they were letting go after a 22-sack season. Okay, yeah. That's a little different, but that's not what he was doing. It'd be different if they let Eric Berry go after he had a Pro Bowl season. He's a former Pro Bowler, former All-Pro. He hasn't been a Pro Bowler for a couple years because he's been off the field
he's
hurt.
Played three regular season games and one playoff game
in the last 2 years. So I don't understand the angst or the mean-spirited people at 610 on Twitter and all this other place out of Kansas City just jumping ship and thinking Brett Veach is an idiot. Brett Veach is the guy that traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. I think that worked out pretty well. Let them draft and let this play. We at least let free agency play out and can we at least get the draft day? I mean, my Lord, there's a plan in place. You got to at least allow it to be played out. Okay? I mean, if somebody gets let loose of a coach and the very next day, oh my God, it's so horrible, what are you doing? But then you find out you get a Hall of Fame coach to replace him a week later. Now you're eating crow, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, just give it a chance, man. Let Brett Veach actually make the moves he wants to make in free agency, which he still can do, and then in the draft, and he's acquiring a few draft picks, although the Ford one is next year. I'd rather it be this year. I understand the criticism of that a little bit, but you can only do what the trading partner is willing to do with you. Mm-hmm. And I think the Chiefs have done just fine this offseason so far, and if Steve Spagnuolo is the guy talking to Brett Veach and Andy Reid saying, listen, these are guys that I want. These are guys that are going to really help my system. Dee Ford, Justin Houston, Eric Berry don't really fit what I want to do. On top of that, they're making a lot of money or will make a lot of money. Well, it's pretty simple. You get rid of them. And the number one guy that Spagnuolo and the Chiefs wanted was Tyrann Mathieu. They went out and got him right away. So the main guy they wanted, they got already. So I would say they're off to a pretty decent start. And they got Carlos Hyde. I think that'll help in the backfield. But somehow Brett Veach is an idiot, according to a guy named The Show, who maybe shouldn't have a show anymore. All right, coming up, it is Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. By the way, Bubba Starling of the Royals is tearing it up. Bubba Starling tearing it up, hitting 423, two homers, three doubles in spring, and just 26 at-bats. Remember, the Royals let him go a non-tender but brought him back as a roster invitee. Number five overall pick years back, considered a complete bust. Maybe he's saving his career right now. Will he make the team? I don't know. But if they're basing it off of performance, he should have a shot at it. And, oh, by the way, Alex Gordon's doing okay, according to Ned Yost.
I am. Gordy's really, really swinging the bat well. I like everything about his game offensively. Right now, he's freed up. He's seeing the ball well. He's putting good swings on the ball. He's getting himself in good hitters' counts. He's putting together great at-bats. I'm pleased where he's at.
That's Ned Yost on Alex Gordon.